Welcome to TIYA After Dark, the premium feed for This Is Your Afterlife, unbound by the format of the main show. Thank you for listening, being part of the Patreon. My name is Dave. I host the main show, and I host this show, which includes the main show. This feed includes the main show. So just stay here. You're good. Unless you're listening to this on the main feed, in which case, get over to the Patreon. I don't run ads, and your support over there helps me make the main show and avoid another coma. So do you want that on your hands? That's something you really have to... Sorry to come at you so hard early on, dude, but you got a choice to make today. Go to patreon.com/thisisyourafterlife if you want to join. Thank you for being here. Today, it is just me, which I don't say diminutively. It's me with no one, but I wanted to talk because I want to just get on the mic and explore some things because I've been... You know, it's hard to say I've been going through it when it feels like, when have you not been going through it? You know what I mean? And not in a way, this is not some like update where it's like, I have some horrible disease. I mean, you know about the type 1 diabetes, so that's not a surprise. But this isn't like a, you know, please pray for me. Here's the meal train. Which I don't say, I don't say that dismissively, like meal trains are horrible. I do support I don't support meal chains, but I do support meal trains. And, but yeah, man, I'm just like, it's been a winter. It's been a year and a half. It's been a 6 years of a pandemic. It's been 10, 11 years of sobriety and underemployment in that sobriety. And I'm just thinking about things and talking through them in front of other people helps me get to some new places with them. And hopefully that's good for you too. So just, you know, settle in. Find some traffic and get into it in your car and you'll listen to me talk. You know what a podcast is. So I have been struggling with this thing. You probably know that I moved to Cleveland, about a little over a year and a half ago. And moving here, I was excited to, you know, I had done everything I really ultimately wanted to do in Chicago. Still had great friends, still had lots of opportunities and fun things, still liked Chicago. I wouldn't say that I was done with Chicago, but it did feel like Chicago was done with me a little bit, because I'd been unemployed for over a year and was trying to find things, and it just wasn't happening. And then we moved to Cleveland. I get the first job I apply for. Feels like things are looking up. I'm excited about, what does it mean to be like delved into an art scene that's smaller, that's more like close-knit, that is, what's that like? And I was very, you know, charmed by the Cleveland thing, the mistake by the lake. I keep forgetting which one it is. That thing, the underdog thing, and wanting to be a part of that, and wanting not to show up and be the person who's like, oh yeah, back in Chicago, you know, as if Chicago is like Paris in the first place. Anyway, but I didn't want to condescend to the place. And here it is. I'm struggling not to condescend to the place. Not in every aspect, but especially with food. dude. The food here, I started the podcast being like, listen, I'm okay. The real thing I have to talk about is the food in Cleveland. But I do. The food in Cleveland, okay, here's the thing. Here's the sort of baked goods, some bakeries, great bakeries, some of the best ice cream I've ever had. And that's my favorite thing. So maybe that's all I need. Pizza is good. But anything that needs a spice, an herb, a vegetable, it's rough, dude. It feels like I've been trying to figure it out because we've been going to, actually, we recently went to an like Indian Nepali place. And one thing was not great. And one thing was actually pretty good. Like, I want it again. Good. So I am finding things like that. But places like that, it's like they're not, this isn't just a bunch of white people like making Indian food. These are immigrants or people descended from immigrants. I mean, obviously we all are, but, well, you know, except for the native people. But the people making this food like clearly care about it and have a history with it and want to make it. And I don't understand why there's so little flavor to it, dude. It makes me feel like I'm in a madhouse, but it's one of those things. And I get this is what someone says when they're in the madhouse, but I'm right about this. Like, I know I'm right about this. And this came to a head a bit when I got ramen from supposedly the best ramen place. You know, you know when you're in a, well, yeah, people talk about the area around the city, right? So Chicago is Chicagoland. In Cincinnati, where I went to high school, it's like the tri-state area. In Cleveland, it's Northeast Ohio. So this was supposedly the best ramen in all of Northeast Ohio. They made a seemingly reputable list of the top 25 restaurants in the area. I was like, okay, let's try it, dude, because my partner and I like ramen. And I went and I picked it up. First red flag was when I picked it up, put it in the car. I didn't smell anything. So I wasn't like, oh, this smells great. And I kind of noticed that. I was like, oh, there's not like a big aroma coming from this. There's a red flag, dude. And we get it. The noodles are, I've been comparing them to packaged ramen noodles. They're not. They were worse than packaged ramen noodles because packaged ramen noodles get soft. They get really salty. They are like, you know, sniper precision designed to taste good, you know, on a certain level. These were not. And they were not certainly the good ramen thing of, you know, homemade and soft and thick and, you know, there was no taste except like just starch, just like compacted starch. And then the broth was not flavorful. I'm like, dude, and these are, again, these are people who make ramen. Like, I don't know if it was like a Japanese guy who owns the restaurant, but it's an Asian guy who owns the restaurant. And like, he clearly likes ramen. He's like got a history of making it. Why is it like this? I don't know. I don't want to be. And so the thing that I'm struggling with, because the things that make sense of this to me are narratives that I'm not totally comfortable with. It feels like condescending shit. Like, the things that make sense of it are like, yeah, Ohio, man. And it's like, I don't want to be the guy who like joins in on the punchline of like Ohio. It's like, there's great stuff from Ohio. Toni Morrison is from Ohio. Hanif Abdurraqib is from Ohio. Hanif, if you're listening, please come on the podcast. But I just, Yeah, I don't want to condescend, but the narrative that makes sense of the food flavorlessness to me, and I don't mean to offend Eastern European people here, but it feels like all the stuff descended from Eastern Europe, you know, like the pierogies, the cured meats. I've had a great pastrami Reuben here, one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life, but I can't eat that every day, you know? And like the purple cabbage, that's not enough of a vegetable for me. And so it feels like just somehow the genes of those settlers, whoever they were, who first came to Ohio, like just affected the taste buds of the whole place, so that everyone is like, yes, the best spice is a thick potato.